Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los hermanos, ministros,
to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the fellow ministers and brethren from different congregations who are connected through the satellite Amazonas, the satellite Eutelsat 8, and by different means of communications, like the internet as well. Today, Friday 20th of this year, 2024, our subject is the rewards for the believers in Christ, which was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Friday, February 7 of 2014, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And he used the scripture there of Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 to 17. And we read on verse 12 and 13 of the 22nd chapter, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." The rewards for the believers in Christ. You may please be seated. In the message, the leadership of the angel of God, which was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on November 8 of 1992, in Calle, Puerto Rico, he tells us, in the time of Moses and in the time of Jesus, what the enemy of God fought against was the fulfillment of what God promised for that time. And we find that he used many individuals to prevent the people from seeing the fulfillment of what God promised for that time. Because when the people see what God has promised for the age and dispensation in which those people live, the people are victorious, and the people receive all the blessings from God. But if the enemy manages to prevent them from seeing the promises that pertain to that time and the fulfillment of those promises as God fulfills them, the enemy then obtains the victory against those people. Because the enemy, notice, to be against the divine program, he must use instruments, veils of flesh, and that is how he can prevent the elect of God, the children of God, from age to age, from dispensation to dispensation, from being able to see and receive the promises of that time. In other words, he uses instruments, but if he doesn't have instruments, then he cannot work. Like it tells us in the book of Quotations on page 62, on the paragraph 547, he says, "So much as we have here, a devil is almost harmless unless he can have something to work in. He's got..." You remember those devils that were cast out of Legion? They want to do more mischievousness, so they wanted to go in the hogs. So devils must have something to work in, somebody to work through. And that is the way that God does. He has to have us. He is depending on us to work through us. The head needs a body to work, he writes there. And on top of the paragraph, he also writes, "The devil cannot do harm if he has no one to work with." And he writes, "The serpent, Cain, Judas, the Antichrist, the beast, and the scriptures that we have already read that he places there." Now, notice how, just as God works through his instruments, his messengers, his veils of flesh, the devil also does the same. Now he goes on to say, but when the people, our brother William continues to say, but when the people does not pay attention to the criticisms, to the arguments, and to everything they say against the fulfillment of what God promised for that time, if the people don't pay attention to the attacks of the enemy, but if only pay attention to the work of God for that time, which makes known the promises that God has made for that time, and makes known the fulfillment of those promises as they are being carried out. Those people are a victorious people, a people who will obtain the victory. In the book of Quotations, where he tells us that it will be the great victory in divine love, and he tells us about the little wooden room where all that would be carried out in a great tent cathedral. Let's go to the page or paragraph 464 on page 54. It says, because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way, thou hast walked in your own choosing. Now here, now this man, now watch how it's wrote. You can see it is wrote in a foreign words. You, thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. It is my way. But bless God, it is my way, he said. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. He had never heard about the vision, you see, of this. You remember the vision? Huge portion of heaven awaits thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. See, this in itself. Now, here is. From here on, I don't understand. This in itself is that, big parenthesis around it, which will give and make compass the tremendous victory in the divine love. On the right, he draws a cornerstone and he writes love. I don't know what that means. This will make come to pass. Perhaps in the little tent, one of these days, sitting back yonder, he'll make it known. The little tent, the tremendous victory of divine love. He writes there below. And on top of the little tent, he writes 12 by 20. And above, he writes God's way. Little tent equals divine love. That is the great victory in divine love, which the people will have together with the ministry that is operating in the great tent cathedral. Look, on 105 from the book of quotations on the paragraph 916, it says, Jesus cared enough for the message of today to bring these same things to pass, as he said, till he died and rose again to send them by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to show his ministry today that he's still alive. He cared enough. Won't we care? That's the thing. Won't we care? He died for this ministry. He died in order that the Holy Spirit could be here in this day to show these things. He cared for you. He cared to bring it here. He cared to make that statement. He cared because he loved you. He cared enough to do it, to send the Holy Spirit to this, make this ministry today. And he writes there, Jesus is interested in the fulfillment of his promises. Jesus is interested in the fulfillment of his promises. Now, look here. He continues to say, in this same message, and those people at this time are us who will obtain the great victory of and in divine love, for we will only pay attention to the divine promises relevant to our time and their fulfillment as they are being fulfilled. In the Bible study of this message, there is an excerpt from the subject, respect, and it says, on page 4 of that message, here in the excerpt of that page, Brother Branham says, the Indians will walk on fire barefooted, 3 foot deep and three or four foot across, blow wave coals till they are white hot and never get a scorch on their feet and deny there is such a thing as Jesus Christ. No, no, friend. The people and the Word has got to be one. See, Jesus and the Word was the same. He was the Word. And when Jesus lives in the human being, that makes him and the Word the same. Don't, your life tells what you are. Now, just look at yourselves in God's looking glass. Say, how do I look this morning? While we pray. And there in that message, right after, there is a brother that speaks in tongues, and there is another one who gives the interpretation, and the interpretation there, in that same line where we finished, says, my children, today I say unto thee, yeah, even I, the Almighty God, has looked upon the earth today. I have seen the evil that this creation has been brought to. Yeah, I see the sin that man this day is wailing within. Yeah, dost thou not know that I have done a great thing for thee? Yeah, I have sent forth a man in this last day, yeah, that he might be a mouthpiece unto this generation. But I say unto thee, this day my people, many have scoffed at this name. Yeah, they have turned their backs upon the things that he has spoke. Now look, in that manifestation of the Son of Man in Brother Branham, it was in mercy, of which he tells us on page 22 in the paragraph 183, he says, the Son of Man is now being revealed from heaven. Will it come after a while, Brother Branham? It is now, and I hope I won't have to make this so personal in this own meeting, but that your spirit within you that's given you by God can read what I'm talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself from the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same thing that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. It's been laughed at and scoffed at. Look at how he tells us there what that interpretation of that brother who spoke in tongues spoke there. It was the same thing that here in 61 already confirmed what Brother Branham had spoken in 58. In other words, Brother Branham had spoken this in 58, and look, in 61, there is a brother there speaking in tongues, and there is another one who gives the interpretation. And one of the things that was said there was that many have mocked that manifestation of the Holy Spirit in Brother Branham. And here, Brother Branham shows us in that portion of the Book of Quotations that he has been revealing himself to his church in mercy, and that many, he says, have laughed, have mocked. Look, in the first coming of the Lord, they put a crown of thorns on Jesus. In the manifestation of the Son of Man, in Brother Branham, they put a crown of mockery on him. And notice, in his second coming, it is a crown of recognition. His children recognize him, and that is where the Holy Spirit has been from age to age, revealing himself through each messenger when he is made flesh at this end time. It is the people who crowns him. As what? Page 154 of the Book of the Seals, and glory, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us, in that person of Jesus Christ, will crown him, as what? As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice, it is a recognition that they give the Holy Spirit incarnate at this end time, in his final manifestation as Son of Man. And Son of Man is a prophet. Now look, next time, he continues to say, next time he reveals himself, it'll be in the judgment to the world and the nation that's forgot God and sinned their way of grace, their day of grace, rather. And he writes Elijah and Moses. In other words, after the forerunner, after what Reverend William Branham, forerunner of the second coming of the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah in its fourth manifestation, then comes the one forerunner. But notice that there is a time there where God sent his messenger bringing the good tidings to the spiritual Mary, as he did back then to Mary, in the time when it was a cornerstone, that is a cornerstone of the age of the cornerstone, when that seventh seal had to appear in his first coming, and the following thing, the next thing, as he says there, that he would reveal himself to his church, how? As the Son of Man, would no longer be in mercy, but as King of Kings, as Lion of the tribe of Judah, because by that time, he would no longer be a Lamb of God. Now, if it was not fulfilled in Brother Branham, nor in Brother William, because in Dr. William Soto Santiago's time was time of mercy, therefore, he was not being revealed in judgment then, nor was he revealing himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There was still mercy for the people. The door of the dispensation of grace has not been closed yet. Meaning that one had to be seeking that person, that instrument, that veil of flesh in whom God would be fulfilling that promise where he would be revealing himself, but in judgment upon the world. Now, notice here, he says that in that interpretation of what the brother spoke in tongues, there, he says, yeah, they have turned their backs upon the things that they have spoke. But I say unto thee, those that shall hear these words, I shall cause great blessings to fall upon them. I am the Almighty God. I shall reward this day for those that shall sincerely receive these words. And Brother William there, in this study, next to that excerpt, he writes, WMB, that is William Marion Branham, sent by Christ to his church and to the entire human family in and to this generation. Now, he continues to say here, in the message that we are reading, the leadership of the angel of God, because as the angel of God, the pillar of fire confirmed the promise relevant to each age and raised up the messenger of each age and spoke through the messenger of each age and made known the program of God for each age, and the promise of each age was confirmed. Likewise, in our time, the promise of our age is confirmed to our age and to our dispensation by the angel of God, by the pillar of fire, and we, attentive to that word, to that message, which makes known the promise or promises of God for our time, we will obtain the victory, we will obtain the materialization of every blessing that he has promised for each one of us. There, in the Book of the Seals, on the page 380, there he speaks to us about that moment where Brother Branham saw. Let's look for it in the Book of the Seals and also in the Book of of quotations, and also in the Bible study, which that excerpt is here, so we can see some notes that he wrote there referring to the paragraph 834 of the Book of Quotations, which is an excerpt from the Book of the Seals from page 380 from the book in Spanish. It says, page 96, paragraph 837. It says, I dreamed. Here he starts with, let's read it from the Book of the Seals, and we will also be looking the writing there in the Book of Quotations.
Vamos a ver aquí.
Let's see
donde es que comienza,
where it starts.
En el libro de los sellos,
in the Book of the Seals, it will be in page 436 in the book in English. Let's start where it says, I want to tell you a little thing happened. This was a dream. I was asleep. I have never told this publicly before. I told it to a couple people, but never publicly before as I know of. I dreamt about a month after that I was standing one day and I was watching the great time, that not the judgment. Now, I don't believe the church ever the bride goes to judgment, but I was there when the crowns was being given out, see, and the great big throne set up here, and Jesus and the recording angel and all, and I was standing there, and on the left side he writes the angel of Jesus, and in the Bible study he writes Jesus and the recording angel and the throne, and there was a stairs step like come down this way of white ivory, run down a circle, made a panoramic like this, and went out, and so all this great host standing out there could see what was happening, and I would stand back over, way back on one side, and I was standing there, never an idea, I had to walk them steps. I was standing there, I'd see the recording angel would call a certain name. I am looking at the writing over here. There, in the Book of Quotations on page 97, above, on the right, standing from there upwards, he writes, the crowns given, the recording angel would call a certain name, and I would know, recognize that name. I looked, and way back out there, here comes the brother walking with a sister, walked up to you like that, the recording angel standing there by the side of Christ. Here, in the Book of the Seals, he writes on the left, angel, and he draws a cornerstone. Just a dream now, and was watching, and their name wasn't there. It was found on the Book of Life. Here in the Book of the Seals, there on the right, he draws a Star of David, and upwards he writes the name in the book. And in the Book of Quotations, page 97, on the top right paragraph, there he draws a Star of David, and upwards he writes the name in the book. And on the left, he writes, Jesus and the recording angel, Revelation
3:21.
And above, on the paragraph, in the Book of Quotations above, he writes, the judgment and the crowns, comma, the recording angel and Jesus, the judgment and the crowns, the recording angel and Jesus, and on top of recording he writes the angel of Jesus. And in the Bible study on the left, he writes, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I am going to go slowly so you can write it down. And on the right, also in the biblical study, everything is in that paragraph. He writes, the recording angel with the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, remember, in the Book of the Seals, he also told us that they had the title deed, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah with the title deed, there is a writing from the Book of the Seals where he shows us there, let's see, Moses and Elijah have the title deed on 364. Let's see here. It says in the Book of the Seals, it says 300. Let's see here. 419. It's the book in the red book. Here it is in the tribulation period, and here stands them prophets to who has the control of the word that God gives them. They can only speak as God gives them the word. Now, they are not gods. They're temporarily, amateurly, they are, because Jesus said, they were, said, you call them gods who the word of God came, but look, that's the ones that God brings the word to, and when he speaks it, it happens, that's all. And here he is with a commission from God to smite the earth, whatever he wants to, oh my, stop the heavens, and he does. What's the matter? He's fixing to take the 144,000 out for redemption, out of the book of redemption, and that's under the seal of redemption in the sixth seal. And that's where he writes, adopted ministries on Mount Zion. Moses and Elijah have the title deed. Now, we see something here in what we are reading, which shows us that the one who was on the side there has the book. Now, let's continue here, it says. He would look out over them and say, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter in. I looked back where they was going. There was a new world and the joys, and said, enter into the joys of the Lord that's been for years since the foundation of the world. See? And oh, I thought, they go through there and meeting one another and just rejoicing and going over mountains and great place. But I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? Glory, hallelujah, just jumping up and down. And then I would hear, and there he writes above, the angel, another name called. I think, oh, I know him. There he goes. There, watch him like that. Enter into the joys of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. Now, below that he writes, he will adopt a son, his angel, and give him the title deed. To whom will he give the title deed? There he shows us that it was to Moses and Elijah. Who is the one that will be adopted? The one who would have the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Therefore, the one who has the title deed, as simple as that, Brother William would say. And we say, now notice how all those are promises, rewards for the elect of God. And he continues saying, in this message, the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, which was preached on October 26th of 2013 in Bolivia, it says, Therefore, being aware of who the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ are, they are the firstborn who will be entering into the mystical body of Christ from age to age. Since the day of Pentecost until now, there will be a group of believers in Christ at the last day who will be the elect, chosen, predestined, firstborn of God, which will be transformed and inherit physical eternal life, but receiving an eternal physical, immortal, incorruptible, and glorified body, just like the glorified body of Jesus Christ. And who are those people, and where are they? Well, we are here, hearing the word of the Lord, and having our faith strengthened, so that we may wait for that great blessing. In this Bible study of this subject, where there was put an excerpt from the message Questions and Answers from August 23rd of 64, preached by Reverend William Branham, it says, on page 44, Brother Branham, if you have time, please explain Matthew 10:41. I would like to know what is a prophet's reward. Well, now, Jesus said, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. A prophet's reward is to be a friend with the prophet. Whosoever receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. Is that right? And if they want to know what a prophet's reward is to be a friend to the prophet. See, that's a reward. He's your friend. And on the left, he writes above, Abraham, God's friend. And he also writes, a prophet's reward equals to be the prophet's friend. Because you have recognized the manifestation of the Son of Man, the manifestation of what he promised under the tent, of what he said that he would be fulfilling in his coming. Well, therefore, you are friends of that manifestation, of that instrument, and you receive that reward to be the friend of that instrument. Now, he continues to say, you will be hearing the great voice of trumpet, which is the final message of God. They will be hearing the seven voices of the seven thunders of the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, of Christ who comes down from heaven in Revelation 10, and that will be giving you the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will be receiving the revelation of the seventh seal, which is the revelation of the second coming of Christ, which will give you the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the message, lean not unto thy own understanding, our brother Branham tells us, here on page 13, he says, and could we not apply that to this day? When the Holy Ghost comes, that they want to apply to some other age, when he comes in the action and the demonstrations of his power of eternal life, the people want to call it a wild fanatism. Why? They are leaning to their own understanding and not to the word of the Lord. You know, that's right. The identification that God's own interpretation is the manifestation of the promise. Maybe I will say it, make it a little plainer. When God speaks the word, he doesn't need any man or any woman or no one else to say what that means. When he said, well, you say, God means this. God means just what he says he means. See, now how does he interpret his own word? By fulfilling it. What is the fulfillment of the tenth vision? What is the fulfillment of the mighty angel coming down from heaven, giving the title deed to the instrument that he has there in the midst of his church? What is the fulfillment of the preaching, giving the rapturing faith and everything he promised that he would give to his church in order to be raptured, to be transformed and raptured? Well, It's what is happening. It is the fulfillment of all that was spoken. That is the interpretation, what is being seen. That is the interpretation. No, it's because this has to, he said it like this, which means this and means that. You know, you want to know what it means? Look at the tent, look at the instrument, look at what the people are receiving, and that's the fulfillment. That's the interpretation of the word, the fulfillment. As simple as that. The Bible said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. That don't need any interpretation. Look, just like it said, that there will be preaching. Well, that's a man speaking. That doesn't need any interpretation. It's an instrument, a messenger speaking the word. What interpretation does that need? That is seen the fulfillment of what was promised to take place in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. But remember that everything starts progressively. Many people want to see the miracles there, which were being manifested when he went to that activity. But to get to that moment, there are still many activities, and we don't know which activity number we are on now until we reach the one that he saw. So with patience, we are obtaining everything God is promising, step by step, to reach that moment soon. In the meantime, along the way, there are those who are receiving that preparation to be transformed, as well as those whom the devil is using to be mocking, criticizing all that God is fulfilling. But that must be carried out, because that's how it was in the past, and at this time, it says that it will be in the same way. The Bible said, a virgin shall conceive. She did. That don't need any interpretation. God said, let there be light, and there was. That don't need any interpretation. God said also, that in these last days, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and he's done it. That don't need any interpretation. That only needs an exception. Somebody to accept what God has done. It doesn't need an interpretation. God interprets his own word. God promised the things that we see day by day, that he would do it in the last day. People today, like it was then, they lean upon their own understanding. My pastor said, that that's fanatism. How many people have we heard say that? But the Bible said it would happen. Whose understanding you going to lean upon? In other words, notice, it was here in this message that he said that faith doesn't reason. Faith accepts. Faith believes and accepts. He says here someplace, he says that faith doesn't reason. Faith believes and accepts. Faith sees the interpretation of that word upon seeing it being fulfilled, being materialized, being quickened in the midst of the people, the leadership of the angel of God, and the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ are the two excerpts that we read on this occasion, in which we have as subject the rewards for the believers in Christ. Let's stand up, and thus we leave in this subject the rewards for the believers in Christ, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.